All right, good luck, everybody. It is Parshat Re'eh this week, August 5th, 2021, 5781. That's right, we're getting close to Rosh Hashanah. First, we have Elul coming up, Brichas HaChodesh, the Shabbos. It's coming up soon. But right now, we have Parshat Re'eh, and there's a lot of really fascinating things in there, including the list of kosher and non-kosher animals, among which is the very intriguing list of birds, the 24 types or categories of birds, not all of which we necessarily know, some of which are certainly more well-known than others. So there are a couple birds of particular interest that I wanted to speak about. One is the chasida, the stork. And there is a lot actually written as to why a chasidah is, why a stork is called a chasidah, which literally means kindness. So I'll talk about that a little bit, but mostly I wanted to focus on the rachama, which means mercy. And there's actually a whole other piece of this that I heard earlier this year, which I'm not going to bring in now, but there are definitely other ways of interpreting, why this bird is placed where it is. But anyway, the Sfarim and parts of Tanakh are full of the phrase chesed of rachamim. So after we have the chasida, the stork, we have the rachama, which means mercy. You can kind of see where I'm going. So obviously, I felt there could be no coincidence that they appear together, right? So I found a collection of insights on Parshat Re'eh by a Rav Yosef Zeritsky. Interestingly enough, I actually had, when I was looking into this a few years ago, it was the Dvar Torah from that year that he put that out. So that was some nice Hashgacha Pratis that was there. Because if I had looked the year before, maybe I wouldn't have found, the source. But anyway, Rav Zeritsky writes in the merit of the Eliyat Neshama of Rabbi David Bar Chaim HaKohen, the Gemara in Chulin explains that the Rachama is a sign of good tidings, an omen of blessing. As it signals to the world the coming of rain, and under the right circumstances, even the coming of Mashiach. However, he brings down the Marasha, who asked that if the Rachama is so good, then why would it in fact be a non-kosher bird? You could potentially ask that about the eagle as well. But he answers that this bird is merciful even upon those it should not be merciful towards. Interesting. A proper balance between mercy and judgment is needed, or society would in fact be chaos. That's why we need what's, often referred to as Tiferet, the balance between Chesed and Gevurah, right? In this case, it's Mishpat and Rachamim, but they kind of parallel each other, right? So you have, mercy and judgment, or you have, kindness and strict justice. So you need a balance between those, or society will be in chaos. You can't be, overly kind to everybody. You need some discipline. So, there's some people who don't deserve mercy, at least on a human level, right? Such as a mass murderer or a very, very wicked person who does unspeakable things. The lack of ability to discern between proper mercy and improper mercy is a lack of emes. It's a lack of truth. And something which does not have this emes, this truth, cannot be tahor. So therefore, this bird, which symbolizes a lack of discernment, is therefore cannot be tahor and hence is tameh. Right. Now, again, this also gets into a whole separate conversation of why these terms of Tameh and Tahor are seemingly used interchangeably, where they can mean different things, including actually even earlier in this week's Parsha. There's another example of that, where Tahor and Tameh can be referring to a kosher animal versus a non-kosher animal, or it can be referring to pure and impure. Alternatively, there's a third option that could actually mean proper or improper. And interestingly, we actually, the part at the beginning of this week's Parsha where we see it is actually referring to the deer and the hart and other wild animals, the chayot, that are kosher, that you could eat when tahor or tameh. But it's interesting because it makes it sound like if the animal is tahor or tameh, but obviously that's not the pashut pshat, that's not what it means. There's also another there's a possibility that the rachama, this supposed bird of mercy that I mentioned, is a colorful bird that is related to the eagle, and apparently is well known in Arabic circles as a bird that speaks God's praises. It's also described as a beautiful black and white bird that was once revered by the Egyptians, and especially noted for the care of its young. Again, kindness and mercy. But Rav Zrizki explains, based on Rashi, about the Chasidah. So now that we've spoken about the Rechama, we'll get back to the stork. That she'oseh chesed im chavroteha, that it performs kind deeds with his friends, and contrasts this with the kindness at the expense of others. He cites the example given in the Talmud Yerushalmi on Bava Metzia about wicked mice that are very kind to their friends by stealing fruit from others in order to give their comrades. Kindness is not necessarily emes. So this is actually a very similar parallel to the Rechama, right? That the Rechama is merciful even upon those that should not be merciful for it. It teaches us, you know, that we need to have discernment. Here, we can't be kind if it comes at another's expense. We can't be, you know, we can't give everything to, you know, our kids by stealing it from the neighbor's kids, for example, right? So sometimes kindness has to come from a place of emes as well, right? But it's not something that we necessarily, you know, see the stork is doing, but it's interesting that, you know, since a stork is supposed to be, you know, a bird that displays real chesed, right, not artificial chesed. So it was interesting. I went to Poland in 2017, and in that part of the world, there is a big emphasis placed on the importance of storks. So storks are everywhere. They have these roosts. It's even forbidden to remove the roosts, which can be quite annoying to homeowners. But anyway, they are not only abundant, but they're protected. And, you know, they build a nest. They care for its young. But there you kind of see, well, wait a minute. Now I do kind of see how they're coming at another's expense, right? These people have their chimneys clogged, or they have the structure that they want to move, but they can't because there's a stork on it. Now, obviously, that doesn't seem to be the, you know, the Pashut explanation of what the Torah had in mind, but it does interestingly illustrate the point. They are nutnim chesed. They give chesed to their young, but they build their nest wherever they feel fit, wherever it might be best for their young, even if it impacts other animals or certainly other human beings, right? So that is actually an example of kindness at the expense of others, which is not true MS, and hence possibly why this bird is not kosher. Now, both of these birds therefore represent misplaced meritorious acts. Now, there are multiple times where the terms chesed and rachamim are used together, but the first two instances seemingly are in Yirmiyah, Perek, Tet Zayin, Pasuk He, as well as in Hosea, Perek Bet Pasuk Chaf Aleph. In both cases, these verses follow the mentioning of animals, including Of HaShamayim, birds of the sky. Now, every creature on this planet serves some purpose, and some serve as a reminder, and the Torah makes sure to drive that point home. There is chesed, but there is a restraint you need at times. There is rachamim, but there is a need for firm judgment and discernment. Hashem teaches us how we should be kind and how we should be merciful. And anything that is against what the Torah teaches is not, in fact, true kindness or mercy, but actually a type of sheker, a type of falsehood. As we enter the month of Elul, we pray for mercy, as we have been merciful towards others, hopefully. And if not, we definitely need to work on that. And for Hashem, we ask for Him to bestow chesed upon us, as we have hopefully been very much bestowing chesed upon others. Baruch Hashem, the amount of tzedakah and chesed, in my hometown of Baltimore, but just New York, so many amazing places, there's just so much chesed. Baruch Hashem, it's a beautiful thing, right? But, you know, it's important that not only do we have chesed, but we have emet. We have chesed and emet. Let Hashem see the truth that's in our hearts. It's really important, right? In order to do so, we must be true to the world and true to ourselves. Now, with the 2 minutes remaining, I can add a slight piece to this, that the Navi Sheker is something which is mentioned as well in this week's Parsha, right, along with the Dreamer, which is something I wrote about this week. So one who is either actually truly a false prophet or one who was actually established as a legitimate prophet but decides to use his status as a prophet to mislead others against the way from Hashem. Right. So that is also a kind of misplaced act. Now, in that case, it's actually deceitful, but it's something which may seem pious, but is actually the exact opposite. It's not emes, right? A Navi Sheker may actually have had the Kedusha to be able to receive a true Navua at one point, but then he twisted it. He was Midakesh it, right? And he distorted it or perverted it in a way to go against the ways of Hashem to fit his own needs. And maybe he even has his own agenda of positivity in mind. Maybe he thinks, well, these people are so busy doing this, they should be doing this, and he really has other people's benefit at heart. Now, granted, that's not the case most of the time, but that could conceivably happen, especially if it comes from, you know, a dream or something. They could mislead others away from the Torah because it's what they feel is right. And they will therefore purposely mislead other people, even though they may, in a certain sense, have proper intentions. But if it's against explicitly what the Torah says, then that's not emes. And that's what he's teaching us multiple times throughout this parsha, including with the birds, the chasida, the rachama, right, of chasid and rachamim, that they're extremely important, but they need to have emes, which also means we need a balance of fora and mishpat. So keep that in mind as we move into Elul. We are seeking and beseeching Hashem for kindness and rachamim, but we also want there to be some element of truth, which means we also need to have an element of emes and truth and fidelity in our own lives. And of course, you know, continue to work on our deeds of mercy and kindness. Shabbat Shalom.